Song of Solomon, chapter 2. When you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of verses because I'm going to be reading most of these while I'm preaching and just kind of give us a platform to go on. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't there, say hold on. All right. I know I pick on you a lot. If you're looking for it in the New Testament, you are way off base. Verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I'm going to stop right there and say amen from last week.
Amen.
I tell you that blessed me last week, amen. The lily of the valleys, amen. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. And Lord, we'll be reading the rest of this chapter as we go on, God. But I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us. God, you help us, Lord, to bring this out in a way that each and every one would understand it a little better. And you leading God in this service. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just kind of give it a little more breakdown, and my first 3 points tonight's really going to kind of go over what I had preached on last week, but just kind of break this thing down. The Song of Solomon is actually broken down in 3 different parts, and some of you want to write this down, you can. The first part is going to be the courtship or the engagement. That's in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 5, the courtship or the engagement. The second part is the actual wedding. That is in chapter 3, verse 6 through chapter 5, verse 1, the wedding. The last part is the actual marriage. That's in chapter 5, verse 2 through chapter 8, verse 14. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, listen to how this reads. Most of us have heard this, but listen to how this reads. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, if you go back and break this down into the Song of Solomon, the courtship is the leaving part. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. The wedding part is the cleaving part. We're to cleave to each other. We are to cleave to our spouse. Amen. It ain't when you get married, mama and daddy is out of the picture, so to say. It's husband and wife then. Amen. So you got the leaving, you got the cleaving, and then the marriage part would be the weaving together. The Bible says, and they shall be one flesh. In other words, hey, the engagement, that's good, and the marriage, that's good. But let me tell you something. When you've been married for over 3 or 4 months, you start weaving yourselves together. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, what you ought to do is continue to weave together that ceremony, that relationship. And just like you and I ought to be getting stronger every day of our Christian walk. We ought to be getting closer to God every day of our Christian walk. Just a husband and a wife ought to be getting closer and closer and closer together. You say, preacher, that just don't even sound right. Now listen, I realize and I understand that there are conflicts in every situation. You're not going to have 2 people in the same house and not fuss. Don't y'all get all holy on me. Y'all know I'll chunk something at you, amen. I mean, if you've been married for over 2 or 3 hours, amen, And listen, we find conflict in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is not without conflict. In the last couple of chapters, they have a little situation that comes, and they're trying to work it out. That's what couples do. We work it out, amen. The thought of leaving should never cross your mind. You make a vow to God. Amen. Now I want to preach this, if I was going to tie it in the shadow of his love, this is going to be speaking to the believer's relationship with Christ, the resting, the rejoicing, and the responding to his love. Number one, we got the beauty of his love in verse 1. He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. His beauty is perfect. Jesus stands out among all others. We talked about this a little bit last week. I'm telling you, Buddha can't compare. Muhammad can't compare. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. His beauty is pure, the lily among the thorns. And as he shows his purity among all the sin, his beauty is personal. He reveals himself to the one that loves him. He reveals him. When you love him, he loves you back. Amen. He will reveal himself to you. Also, the bride's delight in the beloved. Verse 2, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Hey, we are set apart by grace. The lily stands out. And so do the ones that set apart by grace. Hey, let me go ahead and tell you, you ought not to have to wear a Christian t-shirt for the world to know that you're a Christian, amen. When you walk in the room, they ought to know there's something different about you. And when you get saved and you're doing like you're supposed to do, they will know something's different about you. I'm telling you, we might not, I like that old song, I sing that old song, the old man is dead. I might look the same, but I ain't the same. We're set apart by grace. We're surrounded by dangers. We're surrounded by thorns. The Bible talks about as the lily among the thorns, but we're sustained in his presence. Amen. No matter what's going on, that lily still blooms. You ever notice how, have you ever looked at a field of green weeds everywhere and one flower stands out? That's what salvation will do to you. Amen. It'll make you stand out. Then we got the shade of his presence. And I'm going through these pretty quick because I mentioned a lot of this last week. Verse 3, the apple tree, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. We rest in his shade. I said this last week, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we rest in his shade. We have refreshment from his fruit. The fruit is the word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119 verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalms 119 verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We have refreshment in his fruit, but then we rejoice in his fellowship. I thought about, to get shade, you got to get close to the tree. To get the fruit, you got to get close to the tree, amen. And if you can rejoice in his fellowship, you got to get, I thought about it, and every time I think about this, my mind always goes back to those disciples and how John was the one that was so close to Jesus that he let his head rest over on his bosom. John was the one that was so close to Jesus that he could feel his breath on the back of his neck. John was the one that was so close to Jesus that when Jesus spoke, John heard it first. That's how I want to be, amen. That's how we all ought to want to be. We want to be first, amen. Then let's get into the banquet of his love. Now we're going to get into some new territory. Verse 4, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We were invited by grace. Don't you notice that? The Bible says he brought me in, Dale. I couldn't get in by myself. There was nothing that I could do to get in. Amen. It was nothing but grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, lest any man should boast. Amen. He brought us in. You say, well, Jesus, I chose Jesus. No, you didn't. He died for everybody. And when you got saved, you just joined his family. Amen. You got to understand the Bible. He brought us in. Nothing by grace. Then we're identified by love. His banner shows who we belong to. When our army goes out to fight, when armies go out to fight, Brother Ralph was in the Navy, and some of these others were in the military. And I guarantee you, everywhere that ship that Brother Ralph was on went, there was an American flag flying. Because you got to know who it is. I'm telling you right now, his banner over me was love. I'm telling you right now, that's who I identify with tonight. I am a Christian. I want people to know I'm a Christian. I want people to know who I identify with. He brought me in, glory to God, so I'm going to wave the banner. I'm going to tell everybody that I can about his love. His banner shows who we belong to. Then let's look at the strength of his love. Look at verse 5. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Now that don't mean what you think it means. You're going to find that in the Song of Solomon. Amen. It don't mean that they're over there throwing up. All right, stay, that word stay, it comes from the Hebrew word to prop or to lean upon or to take hold of or to bear up or to establish. In other words, his love is strong enough to steady us. His love is strong enough to stay us. His love, I was raised on a farm, and a lot of times, Jackie, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. When you're planting something, and when you build a house, you gotta have somewhere to start. And Brother Donald Boone gonna go on talking about, but you gotta have that corner place. You got a place to start. So you get a rod and you drive it down into the ground. You know what you do? You stay it there. That's where I'm going to be, right where he put me, amen. The Bible said, he said, stay me with flagons. The word flagons there, that's basically comes from the Hebrew word. It's something that's closely pressed together like a cake of raisins or other comforts. In other words, it's talking about food. His word will stay us. I'm telling you, if you want to get close to God, you got to get in his word. If you want to be the Christian you're supposed to, you got to get in his word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It don't say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by preaching. Preaching will help you, but it won't help you like reading this Bible will early in the morning or late at night. You got to get into the word. This is what helps us right here. Amen. This is what feeds us right here. Amen. It's his word. The Bible said, it goes on, said his love is strong enough to comfort us. Now, don't you know the word comfort in this passage of scripture means to spread a bed by implication or to refresh or to comfort. How many times has Jesus comforted you? How many times has he showed up at your house when wasn't nobody else there? How many times has he showed up when nobody else knew you needed him? Oh, somebody ought to shout. I'm just telling you, this is where it ought to get good. How many times, he said, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His love will satisfy. It says sick of love. Now, don't you know, Family Bible Notes says this: he who has once tasted the sweetness of God's love in Christ can be satisfied with nothing short of its continued manifestation. In its absence, his soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the renewal, and its heart and flesh crieth out for the living God. Hey, when you get used to Jesus, and when you get used to the presence of God, and when you get used to the goodness of God, ain't nothing else can compare. I don't care how many drugs you done. I don't care how much alcohol you've drank. Hey, when you get used to him, when you get used to the Holy Ghost showing up and the Holy Ghost moving in beside you, ain't nothing else can compare to that. Amen. As the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Like somebody that faints from joy. You ever seen anybody get so happy they faint? Believers sometimes feel lovesick in worship. Let me tell you something, folks. I can't tell you how many times, Big Mike, I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting on this front seat. And the power of God moving. And I'm sitting there with my hands raised and my eyes closed. And you can feel when somebody passes before you. You know, you get a dark feeling in front of your eyes. Cody, I've had that happen to me, and I open my eyes and there ain't nobody there. The preacher was preaching the other night about the Shekinah glory of God. Most of us have been in services when it gets so thick. I mean, almost like it looks outside tonight, amen. When it gets so thick and you get so close and you almost feel scared to move. You almost feel scared because you know God's on the throne, amen. And you know God's in the midst of you. That's what I'm talking about. I love it when it gets like that. Amen. Let's look at the comfort of his arm. Look at verse 6. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Ooh. I told y'all this is between a husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. Oh, we ain't got into nothing yet. You wait till next week. He supports us with his left hand. I was thinking about it. He lifts us when we fall. And then the Bible, the security of his right hand, he holds us when we're afraid. Amen. The sweetness of embrace. And I thought about it. And when I was studying this afternoon to read over it, my mind automatically went to Talbert and Brittany, that little baby. Have you ever noticed when somebody holds a little baby, they always hold that head with one hand and they hold that body with another? Can't you just see how Jesus every once in a while just come down and picks you up and puts his left hand under your head and takes that right hand and just steadies you and holds you and rocks you when nobody else is there and can't nobody else comfort you? Glory to God. He just shows up. Amen. The comfort of his arm, the sweetness of embrace. When you see a mama and a daddy holding that baby, and from here on out, I hope that every time you see a mama and a daddy holding that little baby, your mind will go back to what I'm talking about right now, and you'll go back in your mind to those times that Jesus has held you and Jesus has comforted you and Jesus has embraced you like nobody else did. Amen. My, my, my. How good's God been to us? See, the problem is, I like it when the Lord just starts talking to you. I'm looking over here at Taylor, and the problem is a lot of us, and Taylor's kids now, how old is the baby? One. She's running all over the place. Amen? You pick her up now, she can hold herself up. You pick them up now, and you just set them on your hip, and they can hold their head up. See, that's the problem with most of us. We done got to the point where we think we can hold our own head up. Come on. Oh, I got this. Let me go ahead and tell you something. You ain't got it. Amen. You ain't got it. Amen. And I don't care how good you think you are, you won't never have it. There won't never be a time that I don't want Jesus to take that left hand and put it under my head and take that right hand and steady me up, amen? Because I know how I am. Understand something. That left hand, it upholds us. I thank God for every time that I fail. Hey, he reaches down and picks me up, amen? Every time that I stumble, he reaches down and picks me up. Every time that I fall, he reaches down and picks me up, amen? And there have been some times that I was on rocky ground, Jackie, and he just reached down and steadied me up. Amen. Somebody ought to get happy tonight because you ain't all you think you are. Amen. The comfort of his arms. Let's look at the season of his voice. Look at verse 89. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. His voice is what awakes our soul. How many remember when he called you? Amen. How many remember when you got saved? If you can't take me back to a place when you got saved, if you can't take me back to a time when you got on your knees and you asked God to forgive me, forgive you of your sins, I'm going to tell you something. You might have had a religious experience, but you did not get saved. Understand, I remember when he called me. I remember sitting at White Savannah. It was before me and my wife got married. We were sitting about three quarters of the way back on the right-hand side of you standing in the pulpit. I got out of that pew. I don't remember nothing, but when I got up until I got to the altar, I just remember I got in touch with God on that altar. I remember when he called me. I remember when he wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That's something I won't never forget. Amen. His voice. The voice of my beloved. Exclamation point. Ain't nothing like his voice. The voice of my beloved, it awakens the soul. His coming removes all walls. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. The Bible says he comes leaping upon the mountains. Do you realize you got a God that loves you so much? It don't matter what valley you in. He can leap from mountain to mountain. He can leap over walls. He can leap over canyons. He can leap over valleys. Hey, all you got to do is call on. I love it when I call out on him and he calls back to me. Hey, sometimes... Sometimes you need to call out on him. And I'm just kind of using this as a reference now because he knows everything. Sometimes you just need to call out on him and say, Lord, I'm in this valley down here. Lord, I'm in this dungeon down here. Lord, I need you to help. And I'm telling you right now, there ain't a wall big enough. There ain't a mountain high enough that he can't get to where you at. If he can walk on water, glory to God, he can go cross mountains. When you read this and you look at this, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. All of us in here love to hunt. Most everybody. Jackie's a professional hunter. I remember Jackie, I was working one day. We was down around the Bucksport area in Conway. And this was back when they would run deer dogs. You know what I'm talking about. They hunt with dogs. And I just happened to go down this here side road. It was kind of off the beaten path, a little kind of halfway paved road. And I was just riding along, and I heard these guns going off. Boom, boom. I rolled my window down. Mike and I heard these dogs barking. I said, oh. And I looked, and y'all probably the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life. That thing was running about 195 miles an hour. And I'm talking about fences, Jackie, almost 6 foot tall. He ain't even slowed down. And that's what this is talking about. A roe and a hart, that's what it's talking about, a stag. I thought about it. The way that deer was running and jumping and him running that fast, that's how fast Jesus comes to me. But a lot faster, amen. The soul, he's always watching like a deer. I thought about it as I was studying this today and reading over this. I mean, I've sat in the deer stand. Jackie sat in deer stand. Larry, some of y'all sat in deer stand. And you know he's out there, Dale. You know, but you can't see. You know he's there, Jackie. But you can't see him. But that don't mean he can't see you. Amen. There's never been a time in your life that he couldn't see you. The Bible, he's always watching like a deer. I want you to notice that. I want you to notice what it says. Behind the wall. The Bible says, it talks about being behind the wall. Then it talks about how he moves to the wind. Behind the wall. This is talking about the wall that was surround their houses back in that day. Every house had to have a wall. And especially if you were anything to do with the king. And we understand that right now, let me kind of throw this in. Most scholars believe it. At this point, Solomon is wooing this girl. Solomon has disguised himself as a shepherd. She don't really know that he's the king right now. But wherever they're at, I guarantee you there's a wall around the building. There's a protective wall around the building. But the Bible says he's at the wall now, and then he moves to the windows. In other words, he's getting closer. And then the Bible says he moves to the lattice. In other words, now he's right there. That's how Jesus would do for every one of us. Amen. When we got a need, he'll move in. Amen. The call to rise up. Look at verse 10 through verse 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle, this is talking about a turtle dove, has heard in our land. The fig trees put it forth her fig, green figs. The vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is the call to rise up. In other words, it's a call to separation. We are to leave behind the times of our past. Amen. We are to leave behind the times of our past. If you say you got saved and there ain't been no change, guess what? You ain't saved. If you're still doing some of the stupid stuff you've always done, you ain't saved. Hey, it's a call of separation. Vance Havner put it this way. We are not to be isolated, but to be insulated. My Lord, I like that. He said, we're not to be isolated, but to be insulated, said Vance Havner, moving in the midst of evil, but untouched by it. Separation is contact with contamination, but Jesus was wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, yet he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In Luke chapter 7, you and I are to be in the world, but not of the world. There's a call of separation. There's a call of renewal. I'm going to read this one more time, verse 13 and 14. Listen how this reads. And when I'm reading this, you're gonna see what I'm talking about. This is talking about the springtime. The winter's passed, and the springtime is coming. The fig tree, putting forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. This is a picture of springtime coming. This is a picture when everything starts to be renewed, when everything starts to come back. Amen. It's speaking of us having a new life in Christ. It's speaking of us. I'm telling you, if you remember when you got saved, and when you got up the next morning, it's like everything was brand new. Amen. Being renewed in Christ. Like spring replaces the winter, salvation replaces the coldness of our past. Now let's look at the care of the vineyard. Look at verse 15. I've heard this passage preached many, many years, Chucky. Most of us have read this passage. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. We're talking about the care of the vineyard now. It's talking about how, and you got to understand, Jesus has left you in charge of your vineyard. He saved you, but you are the one in charge of your vineyard. Amen. And the Bible says, take us to little foxes that spoil the vine. It's talking about the dangers of little sins. This is talking about the relationship of the bride and the bridegroom. I thought about it. No divorce. Now listen to me. And we got people in this building that's been divorced and separated and remarried. And no divorce starts with the dam busting. Most time it starts with a small leak. Take us the little foxes. Me and my wife's been married 40 years. And I'm not saying, you're going to understand, and I'm not saying this in no bragging way, okay? There's certain things that don't bother us no more. Amen? I'm over that. But ain't it amazing how the one you're supposed to love the most can get on your nerves the most? Shake your head like that, Chucky. I know she's sitting right beside you, but just agree with me. And if we ain't careful, it ain't the adulteries that can destroy a marriage. That happened. That can be eventual. But it's when you stop communicating. And when you stop talking. And when you can pass each other in the hallway and not even say nothing. There's problems. This is your vineyard. Mike, you in charge of the vineyard. It's your job and your job to cultivate it and make sure there ain't no little foxes in there. Because I'm telling you right now, little foxes, the more they eat, the more they grow. Amen. This is talking about the care of the vineyard. It's talking about the duty of being watchful. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6, but if the watchman said a sword, see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. In other words, God has set you over this vineyard. You're the one that's going to answer to God for what goes on in the vineyard. You're the one that's going to answer to God for those little sins that get into the vineyard. You're the one that's going to answer to God. Trying to be good tonight. Don't not be a time you walk by your wife or you walk by your husband that something ain't going on. I'm trying to hold my be PG. Amen. Don't not be a time. And I'm really debating I'm going to put it this way. We got some ladies in here tonight and some guys in here tonight that wish they could go back to a time when that husband would walk by or that wife would walk by and give you a little kiss or a little pat. Amen. Keep the marriage holy. But you got to understand something. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. We're going to study in just a few weeks when we get to the marriage part and the honeymoon part. Hey, when you're legally married, amen, one man, one woman for a lifetime, God said, go ahead, just have at it. Amen. Amen. My wife said to me something, you crazy. I said, we got a license, glory to God. Amen. Don't let nothing hinder the vineyard. Amen. I'll leave it at that. Let me move on. Amen. The desire for his presence. Look at verse 16 and 17. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethir. It's a mutual possession. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Amen. I read to you all ago. The leaving, the cleaving, and the weaving. One flesh. One flesh. And that's how it ought to be with you and Jesus. Verse 17 talks about the daybreak. This is pointing to Jesus' return. He's coming, folks. He's coming. I'm just telling you right now, he's coming. If you would bow your heads with me.